Praise God. Brother, I'm going to read out of this one, then I'll change to this one. All right. Praise God. Amen. Book of 2 Samuel tonight. Book of 2 Samuel. Chapter number 2, verse number 18. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18. Now, I'm doing something tonight that I was talking to the Lord back there, and I felt like in my heart what I wanted to preach. I had planned to preach tonight on worship is no waste. That's what I planned to preach. But that's what I wanted to do, and God dealt with me that this is what he wanted me to do. So I'm going to give this a go. And the reason I'm giving it a go is I've got to go home to the trailer here in a little while. And if God's not happy with me, then I'm not going to be happy with me. All right. Verse number 18. And there were three sons of Zariah there, Joab and Abisaiah and Asael. And Asael was as light of foot as a wild roe. And Asael pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Asael?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said unto him, "Turn thee aside to the right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor." But Asael would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Asael, "Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?" Howbeit, he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him. And he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asael fell down and died stood still. Could you stretch hands towards heaven and ask the Lord to help us today? Father, we thank you today. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. If the Lord would help me, just a moment, I'll give you my text, but I want to read to you a couple more scriptures. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible said, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. James chapter 1, and verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I want you to notice verse 15, please. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. If the Lord would help me just a little while tonight, I'd like to preach on when the baby became a beast. When the baby became a beast. Amen. When unholy desire and will join together, the baby is conceived. I want you to get that now. I want you to get that, all right? When unholy desire and will, your will, joins together, then the baby is conceived. Hallelujah. So you said, man, Brother J.R., go back to worship is no waste. I wish I could. But I felt such a burden to tell somebody tonight. I feel such a burden to talk to somebody. And I want to talk about this little story that I read to you out of 2 Samuel, just for a little while, about this young man that was fast on his feet, that was as fast as a wild roe. A young man that, from all accounts that I read in the Bible, his family, Joab and Abishai, went to do great things for David's kingdom. Not all of them did I agree with. Not all of them did I agree with. But he was a mighty warrior. They were. All the whole family. And no doubt that this young man would have fell in that same lot. What he really could have been. What he really, if he could have just got a hold of something. What could have been. He could have very well become captain of the host. He could have very well became one of David's just mighty men that did great exploits. He could have very well become that way. Very well. I need to lay a foundation tonight, all right? But you see, he had a desire. And that desire would probably somewhere fit into one of those three categories that I talked to you about out of the book of John. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. No doubt, taking Abner's armor would have fell along the lines of the pride of life. That's the pride of life. It probably wasn't the lust of the flesh. It wasn't the lust of the eye. But it was the pride of life that got a hold of this young man. And time after time, Joab or Abner would turn around and say to him, rather, Abner would say to him, don't do this. Don't do this. How can I face your brother? Don't follow after me. Go take one of the young men's armor. Go fight somebody that you can handle. Don't do what you're getting ready to do. But that young man had something driving him. I want to get there here in just a moment, okay? He had something driving him inside. And you know, years ago, I'm trying to figure out where a 55-year-old evangelist fits. That pastored four times. Because sometimes I feel like, you know, I should be able to get up here like these young guys and really get it going. But I'm too old to get it going because my get up and gone's got up and left, you know. So I can't get it going as quick as I used to. But then I've pastored four times. So I got this pastor's heart in me also. And sometimes it overwhelms me. And sometimes when I walk into a sanctuary, and maybe Brother Ryan, I know he could talk about this, and Brother Ralston could talk about this, but you never lose, you never lose that feeling that you get from the Lord, that tells you that somebody's in trouble. That somebody's in trouble. Amen. And I won't talk to you about that in just a little while, because this young man could have really been something. This young man could have really done something. But it was driving him. That pride of life was driving him. I've got to have Abner's armor. I've got to have Abner's. But look at the size of Abner. Now you got to understand that when David spoke of Abner, he talked of Abner in the context of being the elite warrior in all of Israel. That's how he addressed him. So Abner was not your run-of-the-mill soldier. Abner was a man amongst men. He was someone not to be fooled with. And really, Asahel should have knew that. He should have understood that. Because he was not capable of tying on to something that large or a man with that much experience. I want you to know right now, sometimes when you're young, you lay hold to things that you're just not going to be able to handle. You get a hold of things that you thought you could take care of, but in the end, it takes care of you. Sometimes young folks have got up in their mind, I can handle this. I can take care of it. Wait just a minute here. Nobody's ever handled it. Nobody's ever took care of it. Nobody's ever won that battle. Nobody's ever fought that fight and come through it. I want to tell you right now, you cannot take sin into your bosom without being burnt. You cannot take lust and lust of the flesh and lust of the eye and the pride of life and place it in your heart and begin to run with the things, amen, that you're running with and go on the places that maybe that nobody knows you're going. Amen. That's the exterior things we can see. But what I'm concerned about tonight, amen, is not what I can see, but it's what's inside of you that's a driving you to go to that point. It's what's inside of you trying to get you to do something that you're not going to be able to handle. You see, he ignored counsel. He ignored counsel. And so many times folks get up and say, I don't know why that preacher always preaches on sin. I don't know why Brother Ralston always seems like he's got to tell us just the way it is. It's simply because he's given you counsel. Because there's been more than one that he has seen. He talked about one this morning that 10 years ago, was that right? 10 or so years ago he spoke to, that he probably could have told them, listen to me. There is something driving you. Listen to me. There's something that's got a hold of you that you cannot handle. And even Abner himself kept turning around and saying, look, don't follow after me. You're about to get hurt. Why should I kill you? Why should I smite you to the ground? You're not able to battle against me. Go out and find one of the young men that you're able to war in. I want to tell you right now, friend, what you've got a hold of, and I might not know exactly who I'm talking to tonight, but what you've got a hold of is going to get a hold of you. What you've got a hold of is going to take you to a place that you never dreamed that you were going to go. Turn around, son. Turn around. Don't follow after it. I want to tell somebody right now, you need to stop what you're doing. You need to stop that action that you're taking. You just can't handle it. You cannot bring it into your bosom and do good with it. You take fire and sooner or later you're going to get burned. I'm going to tell
tell you tonight, there is a beast. I said there is a beast. It started out small. It started out when you just let that desire get overwhelmed in your life. But could I tell you, that desire without discretion is a disaster. Are you listening to me? When you go after things that you know's not right, it'll end up in disaster every time. I'm trying to tell somebody in this building tonight, you better wake up. I'm telling you. I said, you better wake up. A sin's going to get a hold of you, and it's going to leave you in an awful state in just a little while. I've talked to folks just recently. When I spoke to them, the Lord began to deal with me about what was going on in their heart. I talked to that individual about the sin that was attacking him and the lust that was pulling him away. And he looked at me and I told him, son, it's got a hold of you. You can't deal with it. Afterwards, he talked to me and said, you know what it is. I said, yes, I do. I won't tell you what it was, but I said, yes, I do know exactly what it is. That's got a hold of you. That's driving you in a direction that you don't want to go. It had got such a hold on him that no longer did it seem dangerous to him. It no longer seemed dangerous to him. I know where it's leading him. I told that young man where it was taking him. I pleaded with that young man to pray through, only to have that young man say to me, I enjoy it, and I don't want to change. Stay with me here just a moment. Brother Austin, I hope I ain't disappointing you. I just feel like I need to talk to somebody tonight. You see, there's that boy, and he's running after Abner. Abner's warned him time and again. And now, he's getting ready to find out a difficult lesson. He's getting ready to find out a lesson that he's not going to live through. And Abner takes the hinder part of his spear, and he just backwards jabs it into Asahel. And the boy falls down right there in that spot and dies. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. It did not have to take place, but it did. It did not have to happen, but it did. It was such a gruesome sight that everybody that passed where his body laid stood still. Men that were used to war, men that were used to seeing the violence, stood still because there was a death of a young man. You need to stay with me here just a moment. I'm not going to preach long. Don't worry. I'm getting to where I'm going. It's that lust of the eye, and it's that lust of the flesh. You see, he thought he was taking on Abner. He thought that his enemy was Abner, but his enemy lied within. It was on the inside of him. Abner was not his enemy. So when Abner's spear went through him, it was not just the spear of Abner, but that young man thought, why? Why? did I let this drive me to my death? Why did I let this get a hold of me to that place where now, as life's leaving his body and the blood is gushing out and he's losing consciousness and now he'll never be what he could have been, and some mama's going to cry while talking to you right now, that somebody needs to wake up and realize you cannot handle. I said you cannot handle it. It's going to get a hold of you, and once it gets a hold of you, it will ruin you. All the tragedy of young men and young ladies that thought they could handle it, but they didn't realize they were being driven by a spirit that was trying to take them down. A spirit that was trying to destroy them. I'm not just talking about the outward things. I'm talking about what's driving you on the inside. I'm talking about that which is a torment in your mind. You can't get away from it. You can't stop doing it. Now you don't even see no wrong in it. You do it time and again, and nobody knows about it, and nobody thinks about it. But the sad reality is, the sail's dead. And he didn't have to be. The young man's dead. And the beast has got him. The beast of sin. You see, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Oh, you can't live through it. I'm telling you, you can't live through it. Some years ago, we were pastoring in Oklahoma City, and it was May 3rd, 1999, is on a Monday night. And if you've ever been out in Oklahoma, you know that the month of May is not the time to be there. It's not the time to visit Oklahoma. It's the month of May. We, you know, out there we had tornadoes seem like every week somewhere around us. And I'd called a special service that night. And got to church and heard on the radio on the way over that there was a tornado on the ground in Chickasha. I think you probably know where that's at. In Chickasha. And that's no big deal. That's 50 miles away. That's 50 miles away from Oklahoma City. Chickasha is not a problem. That thing grew into monstrous proportions. And Oklahoma prides themselves on the ability to tell you where the tornado is. And they told us on the radio, they said, listen, you can't live through this one if you're on top of the ground. You've got to be underneath ground or you'll never make it through this one. They can tell you what street it's going down. They can tell you exactly where it's going to be where you're at within just a few seconds of the timing. They can tell you exactly where it's going to be at. The only problem is that one was so big and so furious that some folks went to their closet, thought they could live through it by getting in their closet, but they couldn't live through it, and it swept the whole house away. Everything was gone but the foundation. You couldn't live through it. 41 people in Oklahoma died that day. 41 people died in all the time the newscaster was saying, get underground. You can't live through it. Warning after warning went out. Get out of its path. Whatever you've got to do, get out of its path. It had winds in excess of 300 miles an hour
in excess of 300 miles an hour. There was no way to get around it. Everything in its path was destroyed. It stayed on the ground from Chickasha, Oklahoma, to Sepulpa, Oklahoma, some 80 miles or more away, constantly on the ground, doing destruction. That mall right down the road from Bristow was completely leveled. It was completely leveled by the force of that storm. And all the time them telling folks, you cannot make it through this one. This one will get you. You cannot do it. You've got to have protection. I want to tell you right now, you've got to have protection. Young man, I'm telling you tonight, what you need to do is come back to the altar. Young lady, what I'm telling you to do tonight is come back to the altar and find the protection. I want to tell you right now, there is one, amen, protection against the beast, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I want to tell you, the protection from the beast that's driving you tonight is in the blood of Jesus Christ. The beast is your adversary, but the blood is your advocate. The beast blinds, amen, but the blood blesses. The beast curses, but the blood cleanses. The beast drives, but the blood draws. The beast is full of evil, but the blood is excellent. The beast is everything false, but the blood is everything faithful. The beast brings guilt, but blood brings grace. Amen. The beast is hard, but the blood is holy. The beast isolates, but the blood includes. The beast is jealous, but the blood is justifying. The beast kills, but the blood keeps. The beast lies, but the blood brings life. The beast mocks, amen, but the blood is mercy. The beast oppresses, but the blood opens the doors. The beast is full of pride, but the blood purifies. Could you raise? It's the beast. It's the beast. You do not hear him roar until he is so close that you can do nothing about the situation. Amen. I'm about done. I want to warn you. I want to warn you. It just keeps coming to my mind. I want to be careful here. I don't want to wade out. That's your pastor's job. I don't want to wade out into something I shouldn't. But I want to tell you, there's some things that's dangerous that you've got to be careful of. That they seem so innocent, and they seem like you can handle them, but you can't handle it. You can't handle it. You start looking at things. You start looking at things that at one time, you know, it was just a glance at first. But then it leaves the glance and it becomes a constant glare. You stare at it. You no longer resist it. And then you go looking for it. You go looking for it. And the beast leaves its victims hopeless. Once it's got a hold of you. Once it's got a hold of you. It's so tragic. It's so tragic. You ever seen a life that's been ravished by a beast? You ever seen one? Sometimes it just ain't blood that you see, but sometimes it's broken homes and ruined lives. A few weeks ago, we And I'm coming to a close. And Brother Mark, if you want to come here. A few weeks ago, we wanted to I need to be careful how I say this. I'd lost all contact, Brother Ryan, with my daughter. I lost all contact with her. She would probably want me to warn you. I know she'd want me to warn you. See, she used to be Holy Ghost filled. She cried and prayed and wept around the altar. I've seen her speak in tongues in our trailer for an hour at a time. I couldn't even go to bed because she's up in my bedroom praying, speaking in tongues. I've watched it. But I couldn't find her. So we tracked her down and we got a hold of a young girl. A young girl that she knew. Drug addict, just like my daughter. This young lady that we were talking to. Brother Ryan had been addicted to meth for 20 years now. Been addicted to meth for 20 years. And we told her, can you please help me get a hold of my wife, can you please help me get a hold of our daughter? We just want to make sure she's alive. Since my daughter won't talk about church, I said, so we can get her in some type of drug rehab. You understand what I'm saying? To get her in some kind of rehab. And that girl said, well, she said, I'm going to get to go to rehab. She thought Michelle could go with me. I'll get a hold of her. She couldn't get in. She only got in one day. And she sent a message by Michelle, and it broke my heart. It's one of the people you'd like to go out and put your arms underneath. Because after 20 years, Brother Ryan, she got felonies, and she has no money. She has no way of doing anything. And she sent a message by Michelle. She said, tell your dad and mom, if they've got connections and can get you into rehab, could you see if they would help me? I've tried for 20 years and can't get off. I know most of us don't understand that. You've never been in that kind of world. Most of you don't understand what I'm talking about. Have no idea. But that little girl named Erin, that's begging for a way out. And can't find one. That's what the beast does to you. Joab being your brother don't help you, son. When the beast got a hold of you. David being your uncle don't help you, son. When the beast got a hold of you. I want to tell you right now, all the church upbringing you've had ain't going to do you a bit of good if you let the beast, I feel the Holy Ghost, drive your life. Here lately, I've had so many. I'm not preaching like I normally do anymore, Brother Ryan. I'm trying to gather men while I can. I'm trying to do what you talked about. I'm not just preaching, shouting sermons. I'm going outside the church. And I'm trying to find somebody that I can pick up. I've talked to so many. That it started out just getting on the computer. But then lust got a hold of them. And then they began to want to do it. And Brother Ralston when desire and will meet. Whew. That it ain't fun no more. You ever watched them pray? Get up from the altar and tell your preacher, I can't get past it. You ever seen that? Well, they never should have got theirself in that spot. You're right. You're right. I understand that. You're right. But such were some of you. But such were some of you. But you're washed. And the reason that I'm not laying in a graveyard somewhere today is because the blood of Jesus Christ washed away my sin. And he did battle with the beast. And he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. You don't have to go. It don't have to drive you anymore. You don't have to yield to it. Oh, I didn't tell somebody, Brother Ryan, to feel it in my heart. You don't have to yield to it. You don't have to give in to it. If you'll just come and say, hey, I need help. If you just do like that little girl, Erin, if you'd see her picture, it is a portrait of what sin can do to a young lady. It's a portrait of how terrible. Don't let it get you. I know I'm not preaching good, but I'm reaching with everything in me right now. I'm begging you, please, please. Don't let it get a hold of you. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. Young person after young person. I'm not a technology basher. Brother Austin, I'm not. I'm not a technology basher. Very rarely do I ever mention it. But when I watch life after life be destroyed, I start wanting to wave the red flag and say, look, this boy couldn't handle it. This girl couldn't handle it. It's not just technology, it's that lust of the eye and lust of the flesh. It's what's on the inside of you I'm going after tonight. No, I'm not saying you're possessed. No. What I am saying is simply this: you're being driven by your own desires. And as soon as you let your will go along with that desire, the baby's born. And there's never a baby that doesn't turn to a beast that's not overcome by the blood. Heads bowed, please. Father, in this service tonight, they've got such a great church here, Lord. Such a great church. It seems like to me they just want to run to the altar and say, preacher, I'm struggling. It seems like to me they'd run to Brother Ralston and say, can you help me? But they've concealed it. They've hid it away, thinking they could handle it. It wasn't until life was leaving Asael's body, Lord, that he realized it was the beast of pride of life that took his life. Would you open your eyes right now? Would you open your eyes right now? In the name of Jesus.
I will pick thee up, and I will forgive thee. Thou must come to me with an open heart. Thou must be willing to lay down thy sin. For I, the Lord, came not to judge tonight, but to forgive thee, to show thee mercy, to bring hope to thy heart. Don't continue in thy pathway, lest thou be consumed. Don't continue in the way that thou dost walk, lest thou dost lose thy way. Turn to me, for I, the Lord, will come to thee. I'm here to help thee, says the Lord.
Could you raise your hand and ask the Lord to help us right now? Maybe the Lord sent me here just to warn you. Maybe he sent me here just to stop you. God bless this young man. Would you come right now? I wouldn't embarrass anybody, but the Lord is here to help you right now in this service. You need to come. Come on. The Spirit's not lifted yet. God's trying to help you right now. He's trying to help you right now. Would you come? Oh, but everybody will know then, preacher. No, nobody's going to judge you. If they're half of a Christian that they need to be, they ain't going to judge you. They're going to be there to help you. Come on now. Come on. Step out. It's been a bothering you and you don't know how to tell nobody. I'm telling you, you don't know how to tell nobody. I know it. It's been eating at you and you can't get past it. You need to step out right now. God's going to give you victory. Come on. Step out right now. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Come on. Come on. Don't be afraid. Would you come? While the Spirit's drawing, would you come right now? Folks are coming all over the building. Young folks are coming, but you know, I mentioned the young person people a lot, but not everybody I talk to is under 21. I talked to several of you that you got some white in your hair. God's trying to talk to you. Would you let him help you right now? Could we stand, please, all over the building? I'm not going to tarry much longer. I'm getting ready to open the altar, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lot easier if you'll just come. It's a lot easier if you'll just come right now than for it to be found out another way. Come on, come on, please come. Would you come, sir? Would you come, ma'am? All right, church. Could we begin to come, please?
And the things of this earth.